We're back here at the Homeoprophylaxis Conference. Another doctor has visited us all the way from India. And we're very excited to have Dr. Mohammed Rafiq. And he works from India into the United States as well. And believe it or not, there's a Department of Homeopathy in the government in India there in a place called Kerala.
Kerala.
In the south of India, yes?
Yeah, the southern part of India.
Yes.
So on the coast of Arabian Sea.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we'd love to visit and have some spicy food.
Yeah.
Right? The use of homeopathy, to have it in, you know, as part of a department within the government, probably unusual for us in the United States to hear about that. Yeah. Did this happen recently, or has this been going on a long time?
In 1915, we had, 50 years back, exactly, the 50 years back, there was, the government approved, the government of Kerala approved homeopathy as a system of medicine, officially approved. And later on, they started a department of homeopathy for the treatment of people. Through this department, free treatment is given to the people.
Free treatment?
Yeah, of course. Once a person comes, he will have to pay 2 rupees for the registration. It's only for the namesake. Then lifelong free treatment will be given, medicines, and also prophylaxis will be given. Because in our department, we have a special body called REACH. Rapid Action Epidemic Control Cell Homeopathy. Mm-hmm. Through this, we give prophylaxis anytime, not only during epidemic, even for endemic diseases or even for diseases that may appear, for example, tuberculosis, pertussis, any other disease. We give on regular basis homeopathic prophylaxis.
Tuberculosis around the world is the scourge of the infectious disease world. It kills more than any other infection.
Yeah, in spite of BCG.
Right. And of course, there are many drugs now. There are resistant strains of tuberculosis. Yeah. So you're utilizing homeoprophylaxis. You're not waiting for them to show signs of tuberculosis. Are you using the tuberculinum or other?
Yeah, of course, we use tuberculum often because we can make out from the attitude, the mind of the child, how the child behaves. We can make diagnosis that there is possibility of tuberculosis because the tubercular nature can be expressed. You know, nowadays children, they will not sit in one place. They keep on moving from one place to another. That is called the tubercular nature of the child. They don't even study properly. They don't listen. They often develop attention deficit problems and all. So we often manage such cases with a sort like tuberculum. Of course, we have other remedies, not only tuberculum, because we have to take the case. And in homeopathy, you know, history taking is the most important. Right. We have to go into the core of the patient. And then diagnose what could be the reason. We have to diagnose the miasmatic. Sometimes people get a lot of money from the parents. Sometimes they don't get anything, but they get the miasms, the diseases, the tendency to tuberculosis, tendency to diabetes, a lot of diseases. So as a homeopath, our duty is to individualize the patient and study his totality and even diagnose the probable diseases he may suffer from. Because some individuals, when we see, they feel, they look very healthy. But when we take their case, we get there is hidden cancer miasm. So within a few years or months, they may have some cancerous problems. So we have to diagnose, and basically homeopathic treatment is nothing but prophylaxis. By giving a homeopathic medicine, I prevent cancer. By giving a homeopathic medicine, I prevent other diseases. Degenerative diseases. Now we have many degenerative diseases, joint pain, joint erosion, and autoimmune disease. Now we have more autoimmune diseases because the body will kill the body tissues, own body tissues. So these are the areas where homeopathy can do a lot. Mm-hmm. And in our department, we get many such cases because we have different sessions within our department. Mm-hmm. We have gynec clinic, pediatric clinic, and there are some infertility clinic. In our department, we have a special body called Siddhalayam. Siddhalayam is only for the problems of the female. You know, infertility may be due to 10% may be due to the problem of the husband, 10% female. Like that, it may change, 30%. But every time the community, the society will blame the female. That's why we have a Siddhalayam project. We take their case in detail and we give. And recently, we had almost 300 cures on infertility cases. And most important thing is, almost all cases had gone IVF, They had done
in vitro fertilization,
spending a huge amount. But in our department, we give that. Of course, all, even private homeopaths, they also have many successful cases. They have also managed. Homeopathy can do a lot in infertility also.
Now, Rafiq, you're also a review board member of the American Medical College of Homeopathy in USA in Phoenix.
Phoenix.
So you travel back and forth some in...
Occasionally, because I'm staying in India. I'm in a government service, so I cannot travel often.
Okay.
That's why I do online. They send me the details. When someone, some groups are doing a clinical research, they have to submit all the details. And they email me all the details for the review. Then as per the data available, I approve. Or I cannot, every time I have to go through that, and I have to make sure that the people don't suffer from clinical trials. Because it is called the protection of human rights as per your U.S.
Right. We've covered this here in America as well. They call this the therapy naive. They'll often go into countries where the people are not educated and they will take advantage of them.
Yeah, many times free treatment is given.
Yeah.
They so announce that it's free. So people will come and later on they suffer.
They don't know the dangers.
So the IRB is the authority whether to approve this project or not to.
Investigational review.
Of course,
board.
It is mainly for the modern medicine, but even in homeopathy, it has to be applied.
So if we look at the tests that may have been conducted, or in the case of the Japanese encephalitis that we see 20 million people, children, were benefited by this.
Yeah.
What other diseases, we mentioned tuberculosis, other types of diseases that people normally think of only vaccines can protect them that we've utilized or you've utilized homeoprophylaxis to help?
Yeah, we have often, we have many successful cases in the management of chikungunya.
Chikungunya.
Chikungunya is a viral infection that can produce a lot of problems. You know, post-chikungunyal arthritis, people suffer even now. We had an epidemic in 2007 and 2008 and 2009. Since then, they are suffering from joint pain because they cannot walk because of the pain, swelling and all. So we had many successful cures using homeopathy. Also the prevention of dengue. Even now, dengue is a threat.
Dengue fever, chikungunya, and now they're saying Zika, all similar, related.
Zika virus recently appeared in Brazil. But it is also said that it's not a real epidemic made by some, I don't know the reality, but you know.
It's good to acknowledge that. Though.
Yeah, yeah.
So chikungunya, will you use a nosode for chikungunya?
Yeah, actually the way of managing an epidemic is, when the epidemic appears, first we must take the cases, affected patients. And we must try to identify the genus epidemicus, that is the remedy for that particular epidemic, which can be used for prevention as well as cure. So in case when the genus epidemicus is not so clear, then we have to use the nosode. So we had used, first we started with the Eupatorium perfoliatum after studying the cases, and we got the wonderful result. But unfortunately, we did not get result in a few cases, so we had to give other remedies. We had to give a miasmatic remedy, Thuja. Thuja was very useful for the dengue. Sorry.
So you mentioned earlier Eupatorium perforatum.
Yeah.
Also, we look at the nosode for dengue as a viable.
Yeah, dengue nosodes we have. The Central Council of Homeopathy has proved that remedy, the dengue nosode. And even for influenza, there is a nosode called influenzina, like that. Hmm. So what Hahnemann suggested, first try to take the case and study for the selection of genus epidemicus. If the genus epidemicus is not clear, especially in dangerous diseases like dengue, we need not wait for the remedy to be selected. We can directly start with the treatment of use of nosodes.
Okay. Yeah. Now, in your area in Kerala, how many people are in that area that are being helped with homeopathy and homeoprophylaxis?
Yeah, almost all patients, people come. Even those who take modern medicine, they also join our homeopathic treatment. Because it is like that, some of the people, they prefer diabetes, they are under the treatment of a diabetologist or taking antihypertensive medicines also. Even they come to homeopathy. So now I am on leave. So my patients are in trouble. After 7 days, I have to go back and treat them.
But are we talking in the area, hundreds of patients, thousands of patients, millions?
Yeah.
What's the number we're looking at here?
For a day, I get an average 100 patients in a day in our dispensary.
Wow.
And we have almost nearly about 500 homeopathic medical officers in our department. Apart from that, there are central homeopathic NRHM dispensaries, and there is another department called ESI dispensary, that is called Employment State Homeopathic Dispensary. Through that, they give treatment to the public. So its number is a huge number of people get benefit.
Dr. Rafiq, what can you say about the government expenditures, the costs of homeoprophylaxis versus allopathic intervention?
It's very less, because with one bottle of homeopathic Naxomica or any remedy, we can manage hundreds of people. So it's very negligible, very, very negligible. Because I remember I have managed almost 4,000 patients. I have distributed medicine to almost 4,000 patients, spending only 300 rupees. Please remember, that is very important. Only 300 rupees expense
for
we
had.
4,000 patients we could distribute. Just imagine the scope of homeopathy.
Think
the
about the many governments are very over budget. They don't have the funds to do this. And you're telling me that we can take, I don't know the exact translation of 300 rupees, but that's not a lot.
300 rupees is almost $3 to $4.
$3 to $4 for 4,000 patients.
Yeah.
So look at that for the governments around the world, how much more efficient the resources could be
utilized. Definitely. So financially, economically, homeopathy is the best remedy. Mm. And I will tell you, in our dispensary, we have a government allopathic hospital, homeopathic hospital, and Ayurvedic hospital. Every year they allot fund for us. So normally 10 lakh rupees goes to modern medicine and 6 lakh rupees goes to Ayurveda and 1 lakh goes to homeopathy. So you may think that they are ignoring homeopathy. Never. Because using 1 lakh, we get medicine for 3 years almost. But in modern medicine, it is not sufficient because 10 lakh is nothing for modern medicine. Even for Ayurvedic medicine, Indian system of medicine, 6 lakh is nothing.
So you're talking about annual budgets that might be tens of millions versus 100,000.
Yes,
if we're talking
the revenue will come down. Yeah. The people will be definitely.
Affordability as such. So any other diseases that you want to mention for the folks that are watching that don't know of homeoprophylaxis and how it can work in so many areas?
Yes, chicken pox. We can do a lot for chicken pox and even conjunctivitis. We had an epidemic of conjunctivitis in Palakkad area when I was working there before I got transferred to Ernakulam. We could manage many cases using Merck salt. Mercurial salt is a remedy prepared from the mercury.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And people had a lot of troubles,
the
itching, irritation. So Merck salt was given as a prophylaxis and that helped many. Because sometimes conjunctivitis becomes panophthalmitis, rarely. Even it can become keratitis or they suffer for a long time, but with homeopathy we could easily manage.
The only safe way to use any form of mercury is in a homeopathic remedy because the attenuations are
of course. Yes. We don't use the crude form.
Right.
That's
correct.
Why what is painful in is many countries, they don't have opium, homeopathic opium, I mean. They don't have tobacco, homeopathic tobacco. They don't have cannabis indica. They don't have Naxomica. Because these are toxic
in crude mother state.
But
yes.
In homeopathy, we make use of that therapeutic nature and it becomes a curative remedy, but non-toxic. But unfortunately, they don't allow the homeopathic potency. But what is funniest thing is, in most of the countries, they have these crude substances in excess.
Yes.
I can show you, there are countries where tobacco is not available, but they smoke. Tobacco is everywhere. Cannabis indica, they smoke cannabis. But homeopathic cannabis is not there. So this is the dual nature, because most of the governments are under an impression that these homeopathic medicines are toxic. And there is another group, they say that there is nothing in homeopathy. Do you think that if there is nothing, how the system can exist? People are not fools. They come when they suffer, even when they suffer from acute appendicitis. I have successfully managed many acute appendicitis cases only using homeopathy. Very simple.
I've read that in the medical literature many years ago, how in America, in allopathic medicine, they think the only thing you can do is cut the appendix out, and we can manage cases homeopathically.
Appendix, what they say, it is a rudimentary structure. No, never. Appendix is actually a storehouse for the bacteria. the intestinal flora.
Yes.
When the digestion goes wrong, they will supply excess of intestinal flora for the digestion. So cutting it is of no use. Homeopathy is the best choice. We have wonderful remedies like belladonna.
Have you used phosphorus?
Yeah, phosphorus, bryonia. Yes, bryonia, beautiful. Often we get there. And iris tenax. We often get a result with that.
And Duke University in America years ago published that they might have figured out what the appendix was for, and they said exactly what you've just said.
Yeah, yeah.
And imagine that God didn't make a mistake.
Yeah, of course. God never makes things. This is not a rudimentary.
Beautiful.
Without some purpose, God won't.
And to have a medicine that can do no harm. Yeah. And that can only bring healing. I think that's very godly.
Hippocrates said, do no harm.
Do no harm.
But unfortunately, only harm is done nowadays.
In allopathic medicine. Well, Dr. Feek, it is such an honor to have you here, to be on The Truth About Vaccinations.
Yeah.
I appreciate so much all of your work in India and here in America.
Yeah.
And may it continue to help those that are in need.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah.